Nothing like a little bit of the BC Boys to get you going here at the 9 o'clock hour on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. We let the internet guys take over the hour this hour on 9 o'clock on Thursday, so I'd like to welcome in Brian Cook from MGo Blog and Greg Dooley from MVictors.com. So welcome in, guys. Plus, Greg, you write for Sam's site, too, aren't you, on Go Blue Wolverine as well?
I am a guest writer for Scout, yep.
Yep, so he's on that as well. So we're all over the internet here. So welcome in, guys. Great to have you guys back. It's homecoming week, and so that's always a good time here in Ann Arbor. You guys go to the pep rally on Friday tomorrow?
No. I just don't.
It's too early.
It's like 3 p.m.
It's mainly for students. I think that's who they're gearing it up for. They're providing bus service for the students to get out there. But if I can duck out for like an hour in the midst of all my preparation for the KeyBank countdown to kickoff, I might check it out just to check it out. But I am looking forward to homecoming. The one thing that I miss, and we were talking about this just briefly before we went on, the things that I miss now as I work on game day and I can't do certain things are some of the annual traditions around town that we've been used to around here, like the Mud Bowl. And I remember coming up, one of the first times I ever came up, we went to Bagel Factory, got a Fraggle, and went to the Mud Bowl. Now you can't even get a Fraggle because that place has been vacant for a bunch of years.
Yeah, and I played the Mud Bowl a couple times, they're not going to have it this Saturday, unfortunately. They're moving it out to the Penn State game. So
a birthday celebration for me?
Yeah. Oh, okay, great. Yeah, we can play it that way. But it looks like it'll be the morning of the Penn State game instead of this weekend. And I think it's because they changed the format a little bit. They used to play the fraternity across the street, Phi Delts. They changed it a few years ago where they play the winner of a tournament, the flag football tournament.
Enough time to have the tournament yet.
I assume so, or they didn't have enough time to plan because there's a lot of planning that goes involved with the charities and things. So I think that's why they pushed it out.
What about the sorority game, rugby game?
That'll be going on at halftime as well, and that is that has become more of a highlight for me as the years go on.
I'm sure it has. Something we've been talking about this week a lot, obviously it's also for homecoming, it's the 30th anniversary of Indiana homecoming with one of the most famous calls that we're all a little young. I'm guessing that none of us were at the game. I was I was not quite four yet, and I hadn't been up to Michigan at the time.
Fresh out of the womb.
Yeah, actually. You were exactly. Yeah. So, but we've all heard the play by play cut for Bob Ufer thousands of times at this point. So maybe we'll hopefully we won't have anything nearly as exciting at the end of the game this weekend.
No,
but let's chance to go back to last week before we move forward. Brian, your thoughts on the Eastern game. I know you did your defensive grades and whatnot, so I figure just get your thoughts on the Eastern game before we move beyond Eastern.
Well, I thought the defensive performance, I mean, everybody was pretty bothered by the first half, but when I went back and looked at it, it was mostly stuff like missed assignments, which aren't good, but they're much better than if, like, people you weren't expecting to get blown off the ball got blown off the ball. And I thought both Martin and Graham had good days, and that was important thing. There's no linebacker depth, but I think we all knew that. And with Mouton out, that brought a walk on to the lineup who didn't perform very well. And unfortunately, what we saw from JB Fitzgerald kind of indicated that he wasn't quite ready to be on the field regularly. And that was probably the biggest disappointment from the day, just because, you know, you really want some of the in that linebacker core to step up, and it's pretty much down to the two starters now.
I think that's what we've kind of come to realize is you sit in the press box, you watch the game, and I'll be with Sam and whoever else is around us, and we're like, there's three walk-ons on the field right now.
Yeah.
It's not that there aren't talented guys behind them, you know, they're just not ready to go. They're not
right,
ready
absolutely.
to take those reps, and I guess they feel that the walk-ons may athletically not be quite as gifted as some of the guys that they recruited, but mentally they're right in there with the game and ready to contribute, at least not being in the wrong place, than making great plays. They're at least in the right place.
Yeah, no offense to any of the walk-ons, but I'm hoping that they'll have less of a role as the year goes on, because, you know, Vlad Emelian's already burned a red shirt playing on special teams, and you'd really, really like to see, you know, Demons or Fitzgerald or Smith come on at linebacker and, you know, give the position a future, really.
Really, and I mean, if you saw like 5 minutes ago, I mean, Donovan Warren and Brandon Graham were still in the game, and I think one of the things most people wanted to see out of this game was a lot of playing time from other guys, and they could have at that point, but obviously the coaches aren't too comfortable unloading everybody right now. So
I was actually towards the end of the game, as the score got a little bit more separation, more separation on it, I was getting a little bit I don't know if worry is the right word, but I was a little worried that you kept seeing certain starters on the field, because you can have a freak injury like what happened to Andy Schmidt, who, you know, he's gone for the year, and Eastern obviously needs him at quarterback. If Michigan has, say, Donovan Warren just take a slip out on the edge, you know, late in the game, that's an area of concern that you don't want him out there. So hopefully this Saturday we can Michigan can be in a position where earlier in the game they can get some more guys in the game and get some more reps.
Yeah, you'd hope so. I think that if it didn't happen against, you know, Eastern Michigan, it's not likely to happen that much against a Big Ten opponent. So, I mean, hopefully Denard Robinson won't throw a game-changing, well, not changing, a game-tightening interception like late in the second half, because that was Michigan probably driving to go up, you know, three touchdowns at halftime, and then you can seriously look at getting a lot of guys' time in the second half.
Well, on the offensive side of the ball, and you brought up Denard Robinson, on the offensive side of the ball, they didn't really need to throw the ball a whole lot. It seemed like the game plan, obviously, in general with this offense is to get the running game going and use that to build the pass. And the short passing game is essentially a part of the running game, where if the read option is the right direction, you may end up throwing a little bubble screen or something. But they didn't need the throw really at all. So even when they didn't, it looked like they didn't have a lot of success early throwing the ball, which really isn't necessarily the case. They just didn't need to throw the ball.
Yeah, well, when I looked at it, I thought Forcier had a couple instances where he was indecisive with the ball. Like when he got hammered, he actually had a guy open on an out route for, you know, a few yards, but he didn't take it. He was looking for a bigger play, and he ended up, you know, getting hammered, and that was not ideal. I've never been more terrified at a tiny man going down like before, and never will be again, I hope. But the passing game took a little bit of a step back, but given the context, I don't think it was a huge deal.
Well, and one of the big criticisms of Rodriguez last year was, well, he's not using the players he has. But what we're seeing this year is just this incredible no-huddle, of course, offense. But then, you know, he'll bring in the two tight ends. They can go power. They can go quick. They can obviously run the spread, and it's impressive to watch.
The diversity that we've seen in the offense has been, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, yeah, they've scored 30, averaging 38 points a game, which is
most
twice.
In the Big Ten.
Yeah, they're most in the Big Ten. It's twice what they were doing last year, so they're double the pace that they were on last year, which is nice to see. And we know from the issues that they have on the defensive side of the ball, whether it's the depth issues or the size issues at certain positions, they're going to need to outscore opponents. But if they put up 38 points a game, they should feel pretty confident in most of the games on their schedule.
Yeah, I think we might run into a defense tougher than any of the ones we've run up against at some point in the Big Ten schedule.
Well, I don't expect them to maintain a 38-point average.
Possibly 5 or 6 times.
Right, I don't expect them to keep that average up completely, but at the same time, if they're going to be quick strike and they score a bunch of points and the defense is put in a position where they're either a little tired or they're just on the field a little more than you would want them, mainly because they don't have the depth to rotate too many guys
That's
around.
True.
Then if they can keep scoring, then at least outscoring might be the strategy for the season.
Well, I mean, and you do note that both the last two games in the first half, Michigan has had touchdown drives that consisted of a kickoff return and a 90-yard touchdown. And so surrounding those events, you know, Michigan defense was on the field quite a lot and got tired out and had to throw some walk-ons on and didn't perform very well. So, yeah. I think that is a hidden factor in the fact that Michigan's second half defense, especially their third quarter defense, has been
zero
much
points.
Better. They're just fresher. There's been like periods in the second quarter where the defense has just been on the field almost constantly, and you see a reduction in performance based on that.
734-998-1050 is how you reach us via the telephone. Email us at studio@wtk.com. Let's go up to Lansing, talk to Mark. Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How you doing? Three questions. The first one is, Brian, I keep hearing about missed assignments, and I'm wondering what causes these missed assignments. Is it physical? Is it mental? Is it lack of technique? Is it lack of fundamentals? Is it improper instruction? I keep hearing missed assignments. I'm curious as to what contributes to that, if you can make a general statement. Two, is this defense better this year than last year? And if so, in what ways? And then three, I don't know. I'm assuming that you studied Rich Rod's offense back at West Virginia. I'm curious as to how this offense is different than what he traditionally ran in West Virginia. And I see some differences already in between this year and last year. I don't think I've seen many bubble screens at all. We used to see that as a staple of the offense. But anyway, how has the offense changed at all? And I ain't going to listen. Thanks.
Thank you for the call. Brian, go ahead.
Mrs. Simons, I think that you're just seeing a lot of guys you know, who are inexperienced in the system. This is Michigan's third defensive coordinator in 3 years, so nobody really has a great idea of what they're doing, and a lot of them are very young. So I'm hoping that as you see the season go on and into next year, that those missed assignments will get reduced considerably. Is it D better this year? I can't tell you yet. Like, they've only really gone up against one serious opponent, and it did not go very well. Michigan gave almost 500 yards. That was a very, very serious opponent, though, at least on the offensive side of the ball.
The defense is just better, if nothing else, because they're not being put in those sudden change short field situations, and that's a big-time help.
I invented a crazy stat last year, which is basically taking your rank in scoring defense and subtracting it from your rank in total defense, and Michigan was minus 17 in that last year, which was like the 15th worst in the country. And the top most horrible team in that was UCLA and Kevin Kraft, who just kept throwing interceptions. So that's just sort of an overall thing that represents how often the defense was just put in a hole. And as to Rich Rodriguez at West Virginia changing the offense, bubble screens have not been there this year, so they haven't been running a whole lot of them. So Notre Dame lined up a guy directly over the slot receiver the entire game. And Eastern Michigan went to it after Michigan ran a couple bubbles this year, too. So the defenses are taking that away and giving Michigan other stuff, which they're taking. As to the differences in the offense, you know, the run game is very similar. The only thing that you're seeing that's different is that because of the prevalence of people playing games on the backside with the defensive end who gets unblocked, that Michigan is deploying a lot more counters to that. Like, I don't know if anybody remembers the Fiesta Bowl that Rodriguez didn't actually coach in against Oklahoma, but did play in. Noel Devine had two long touchdown runs on pitch sweeps in that game. So, I mean, that came out of the I formation. That was basically conventional offensive football that they could put in the game plan because they knew that Oklahoma was exploitable in this way and would overplay various things and, you know, just that kind of stuff. So Rodriguez has always had an extremely creative and diverse run offense, and I think you're seeing that at Michigan. The thing that is different from his West Virginia days is he's got a ridiculously accurate mobile on the run quarterback. So he's incorporating that a lot more than anything anyone ever saw at West Virginia, and to good effect.
That's what I was thinking about. The biggest difference between the West Virginia offense and this one is the ability to have a guy that can throw the ball, which obviously we didn't see against Eastern because you don't need to, but definitely we saw it against Notre Dame.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially at the end of the game, but we saw it in that whole game.
He throws the ball so well on the run, and he's a decent runner. So you put him on the edge, and then you give him an option. And like, it's not like Vince Young where the option is like always I want to run because I'm Vince Young. It's usually he's going to throw because he's ridiculously accurate when he's moving. And Rodriguez is really emphasizing that in the offense. They don't set up in the pocket very much.
All right, guys. We're going to step aside, pay some bills here. But give us a call, 734-998-1050. Shoot us an email, studio@wtk.com. If you have a name suggestion for the hour, we have a couple of those in the email inbox. We'll try to get to those. More Michigan football talk right after this here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA.